Our reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter number 9. Please follow along as I read from the New Revised Standard Version, and we are going to start in verse number 1. Please follow along with me. As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes open?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." Turn to your neighbor. Grab your neighbor by the hand, or look your neighbor square in the eye. You got to look them square in the eye. If you want to grab them by the hand, that's on you. We got hand sanitizer everywhere. But look your neighbor square in the eye and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
are you ready?
Are you ready?
Neighbor,
neighbor,
are you ready?
Are you ready?"
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We have entitled our message this morning, "Are You Ready?" Mo, I want you to know, in seminary, you have been instructed in your homiletic classes, those are classes about preaching, that you are not to entitle your sermon as a question. Well, I am not abiding by that rule today. The sermon to all of us is a question, and the question that is raised is, "Are you ready?" Now, the one thing that we see happening here is that, if I can take you to accounting class just for a minute or two. In accounting, the one thing you have on spreadsheets is liabilities. Liabilities are not something you want a lot of on your spreadsheet. You see, a liability costs you something, but you get nothing from it. And because of that, whenever you have more liabilities than you have assets, that means your company will likely run in the red, which means that you're losing money rather than gaining it. And the one thing that we're able to see when we look at this blind man who we see here in Scripture is that we are just like him while he is in a state of blindness. He was a liability. And him being a liability is because of the fact that he was blind and he was limited, Sister Davis, on a number of things he could do. So in order for him to get money to take care of himself, he had to sit along the road and beg and wait for folk to give him something. And as some folk might have gave him something, some folk might have grumbled, Brother Mo, because they said, "Oh, I had to get this blind dude something." So they all see that this blind man cost them something, but they were not able to get anything from him in return. Well, that was us, because all of us have been blinded by sin. All of us were so toe up from the flow up. Some of us were so misguided, we didn't know which way was up. But all of us had been captivated by sin until we came to Jesus, which means that every last one of us in here were at one time a liability. And since we were a liability, that means that it was costing the Lord to bless us with grace and mercy, but we weren't giving God any kinds of returns. Don't you know that the Lord allows the sun to shine even when we weren't saved? Don't you know the Lord was providing food for us even when we weren't saved? Don't you know he was keeping us in our right minds even when we weren't saved? You see, he was doing all this stuff for us. It was costing him something, but we were not bringing God any kind of returns. Because we were a liability. And what I want us to look at as we get and look at this scripture here in the Gospel of John, chapter number 9. What we're seeing is that while Jesus and his disciples were walking, I want you to know that, Sister Rose, they were walking and they saw a man who was blind. And when they saw the blind man, what happened is that the disciples posed a question to Jesus. They posed a question to Jesus because they wanted to know what was the cause of his condition. They posed a question, and that question that they ask is, who sinned, this man or his parents? Because they wanted to identify who they could throw the stone at as far as whose fault it was that this man's condition is what it is. And what the Lord would not do, he would not entertain the idea of whose fault it was. All right. Let something go wrong here at the church. Soon something go wrong at the church, we're going to ask, who did it? Amen. But in this same situation, they were asking the question, who did it? Who sinned? But what Jesus would not do was place blame on the man who was born blind or his parents. What Jesus tells them in verse number 3, he says, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. Do you see that? So that God's work might be revealed in him. So in all actuality, Jesus is saying that through his situation, God is going to get the glory. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because when you look at your own life, when you look at what you were like prior to Jesus, when you look at how the Lord turned you around, how the Lord healed and delivered you, how the Lord took you from a nothing and made something of you, how the Lord took you and when you were so broke up and toe up from the flow up, and the Lord did a miracle in your life, it was for God's glory that you are where you are right now. You see, when we think about how we are where we are right now, it was nobody but the Lord who brought us through the whatever's in our lives that allowed sin no longer to captivate us. You see, that's why the people of God don't ever have to ask anybody, is it time for me to praise God? Is it time for me to tell God thank you? Because I know what he done for me. I know what he brought me through. I know how he made a way. I know how he fixed me. I know how he's keeping me. I know I am what I am because there's nobody but the Lord. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Because when, check this out. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're looking at a miracle. Because don't you know that you've been through some stuff that other folk didn't make it through? You know, if it had not been for the Lord, you wouldn't be here right now. I want you to know we got a whole bunch of walking miracles all around us. Do I got anybody who knows God has blessed you? When you think about this, when you think about this, this man right now was a liability. When you think about some of the stuff we was doing and how God delivered us from it. When he did it, we were liabilities. So as we look at this, Jesus goes on to say in this next verse, we must. Some of y'all translations say I because you got King James. It says really we. Because when you look at the actual translation from the Greek to the English, it should say we. Because Jesus wants it to know that this isn't an exclusive, it's an inclusive. Which means it's for all of us who say we love the Lord. He says, we must work the works of him who sent me. While it is what? Because night is coming when no one can what? You see, this is where we got our sermon heading from today. Which is a question that we have to ask. The question that we have to ask, are you ready? Are you ready? But in order to be ready, you first must know what you are. And what you have to know is that you are no longer a liability. You see, when you start walking and talking with Jesus, when you start living your life for Jesus, you're no longer a liability. You see, the Lord, it cost the Lord something. It cost him his life to get us. But now that we understand that he paid the ultimate price to save us and that he did all he could for us, then that lets us know that the Lord has blessed us. And since I'm now God's investment, when you look at me on God's accounting spreadsheet, you're not going to see me under expenditures as a liability. You're going to see me as an asset. And since we are assets, that means that we're bringing God profitable returns. Because we understand that, yes, I once was an asset. I once was a liability. But now I am a what? Asset. Because I know that there was a time I wouldn't give God the time of day, but God was still blessing me. There was a time I wouldn't consider going to church, but God was still blessing me. And now that I know better, I do better, I'm going to walk the walk. I'm going to talk the talk. I'm going to let my light shine wherever I go. I'm going to let folk know that the Lord can make a way out of no way. Because if he was able to take me while I was a liability and turn my life around, I know he can do the same thing for you. And since I know he can do it for you, I'm going to praise him right now because I know he's going to bring you through. You see, my brothers and my sisters, what God is looking for is more assets, and he doesn't need anymore. See, I want us to understand when we look at verse number 4. You see, Jesus up to now has not been dealing or talking to the blind man. He's talking with his disciples. And what he wants his disciples to understand is this. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I ain't throwing no stones. Now, I know I'm going to have to explain that. David, what Jesus here is letting his disciples know. And that's why he said, back in verse number 3, so that God's work might be revealed in him. Was because he didn't want them going around looking at folk and seeing them in their sinful state while they are a liability and try to determine what was the cause of their sin. It wasn't about pointing fingers at folk. It wasn't about throwing stones at folk. Because if you're throwing stones at folk, there are some folk you think are worthy of God's word and other folk who aren't worthy of God's word. And God doesn't want us to do any kind of cherry picking. God wants us to go and grab up everything and don't care where they have been or what they have done. Because truth be told, if it had not been for God's grace and mercy, where would you and I be? You see, because some of us gave up on us alone. Long time ago, some folk looked at us and said we'd never be worth 2 cents. But look at what the Lord has done with us. Look at how God has blessed us. Look at how he is using us. And since you know that to be true about yourself, you ain't gonna throw no stones at nobody else, because you realize that if the Lord can do something with you, as sorry as I used to be, as sorry as you used to be, there's no doubt on what God can do in the life of whomever he encounters, because he is God and there's nothing too big for our God. So what he is saying, we ain't throwing no stones. If you're going to minister to people, you minister to them. There's just some things you don't need to know. And if you did know it, so what? But we ain't going to throw no stones. What we're going to do is lift them up. What we're going to do is let them know that, yes, I know you think you are a liability, that you're sorry and you'll never be nothing but what you are. But I'm here to tell you and bring you some good news. When you look at me, I used to be you. I used to be a liability. I used to be messed up. I used to do some dumb stuff. But through the grace and mercy of God and through my acceptance of Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior, I recognize I am what I am because God has blessed me, because I surrendered and gave my life to Christ. Then the Lord was able to do great things in me, through me, and around me. And now that I am an asset, said, wherever I go, I'm going to let folk know that I serve a God who can take anything and make something out of it. You see, God can take a little and he can turn it into a lot. That sounds good, but God can also take nothing and make something from it, because I got a whole bunch of nothings in here, because I know I also was a nothing, but God took our nothingness and didn't he make something out of it? Do I got any witnesses in God's house? Do I got anybody in here who knows I am where I am because God blessed me? I thought I was a nothing, but God made me into a something. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? When I think about the goodness of the Lord, oh, I feel like preaching right now. You see, but what I want us to see is that he was teaching his disciples. In order for you to be an effective asset, I don't need you to go down and get involved with stuff you don't need to know. All you need to know is it's broke, and you're going to pray for him. You're going to talk with him and watch how I fix him. He said, ain't no need for all that. And we ain't going to throw stones. We ain't trying to judge folk. We're not here to beat nobody down. We're here to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. The unadulterated word, which will take anything and make it into something. And I'm here to tell you today, my brothers and my sisters, do I have some assets in God's house who want to bring God some profitable returns? Because you know the Lord paid the price for you. And since he paid the price for you, you are not going to continue to be a liability, but you're now going to become an asset, because you know that the Lord didn't have to do what he did. And since he did what he has done in your life, I will not keep it to myself, but I got to go and share it with. But hold on, let me take you a little further. You see, when you look here at this, because he says also at the end of verse number 4, he said, night is coming when no one can work. So look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you still got light. So while you got light, the question is, what are you doing? Are you working? Well, before you work, are you ready? Because you got to be ready to work. And now that you're ready to work, the other question is this: are you ready to truly be an asset for God? And if you're ready to be an asset for God, then it's time for you to be putting your work in, because you understand that the Lord put work in for you. Amen. And you see, up until this point, his dialogue has specifically been with his disciples, because his disciples had to be educated in the do's and the don'ts. Are we seeing this right here? Because of the fact that they raised the question of this blind man who is right there in their presence, Deacon Jones. The blind man is right there. And they ask the question, who messed up? Him or his parents? Who sinned? And Jesus had to get them right before he resolved the issue in the man, because he had to let them know so that God's power can be revealed. So God can be revealed in him. God can bring him through this. And that's why he said, I don't want y'all to be caught up in stuff that don't matter. Right. We must work while it's day. Don't get caught up in nothing that's not going to enhance the work or grow the work. Because the work is the most important thing. And if you are an asset, you're concerned with the work. And there are some things that just don't get your attention, because it just doesn't matter. And look what happens. He says in verse number 6, meaning the verse number 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the what? As long as I'm in the world, he's the what? And since he's the light of the world, don't you know that the Lord brought us light? Don't you know we need to function in the light? And what is that telling us? Jesus says, as long as we got him, we will not be in darkness. It might feel like we're going through a dark time, but when you got Jesus, Jesus automatically brings light to the situation. You see, and when you put your trust in Jesus, I don't care how tough it gets, the Lord is going to bring light to the situation. Anybody going through a hard time, anybody been through a hard time, anybody felt it hard sometimes just to get up in the morning, but once you got up and you started thinking about Jesus, that which was weighing you down, it got lighter, and that which appeared to be dark got brighter. You see, my brothers and my sisters, as long as we got Jesus, we will not be in the dark, but we're going to operate in the light. Why? Because we're also an asset, not a liability. Y'all ready to go a little further with this? So after he dealt with them, now he turns to deal with this blind man. And what does Jesus do, y'all? Look in verse 6. He says, when he had said this, he spat on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud on the man's eyes. You know, think about this, y'all. Jesus went down and picked up some dirt. Dr. Red, he picked up dirt, dry dirt. Valerie, dry dirt. Then he spit in it. Because where was it? Arid area. Didn't get a whole lot of rain. So the dirt was what? Dry. Jesus took dry dirt and he spit in it. So him taking that dry dirt is letting us know that that's how we were because of sin. Sin had made us. Oh, somebody's catching on. Sin has made us. And in order for us to get right, what do we need? Jesus. So what did Jesus do? He spit in the dirt, in the dry dirt. And in spitting in that dry dirt, it now became muddy. Don't you know when you got Jesus around, can't nothing be dry around Jesus? Don't you know as long as Jesus is in the midst, can't nothing ever go dry? Okay, it's always going to have some moisture. Because when you got Jesus, don't you know you got everything that you need? And church, I want us not to forget that. The significance of who our Savior is. He brings light. And don't you know, he is the living water. And as long as we got the living water, we ain't ever got to worry about being thirsty or ever worry about anything being dry around us again. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when you think about all that the Lord has given us and all that the Lord is blessing us with, we should never walk around in doom and gloom. I know you're going to have some hard times. I know it's going to get rough. But you got to know that Jesus is still going to bring light to the situation. Jesus is still going to bring water to the situation. All we got to do is keep trusting in the one who brought us this far, and his name is Jesus. Now, as we see, dry dirt, Jesus' saliva, he puts it together. He makes mud. And in making mud, he takes that mud. Them road, he takes mud, puts it on the blind man's eyes. Do we see it? And once he put it on his eyes, this brother was instructed to do something. He told him in verse 7, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sin. Then he went. He was told to go. Then he went. And washed and came back able to see. He was told to go. Then he went. He washed and came back able to see. He was first told to. Then he came, washed, and then he what? Because he was able to. You see, my brothers and my sisters, do you see the process? He was told to go. Then he went, then he washed, and then he came back because he was able to. You see the obedience? Jesus did something, instructed us to how to deal with what he has done in us. And then we see it's left up to us, because Jesus put the mud on his eyes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went. He washed. Was able to see. And he came back.
Amen.
The thing that we have to understand, while we are liabilities, we struggle with doing the instructions.
All right.
But eventually, we adhere to the instructions because we accepted Christ into our lives. And once we accepted Christ into our lives, we realize that our current condition was never will be the same. This man's encounter with Jesus was such that his life would never be the same. And because this happened to him, and he went and did as he was instructed, when he came back to the place where Jesus had put the mud on him and gave him the instructions, when he left, he couldn't see Jesus. And when he was able to see, and now that he is back, Jesus is gone.
All right.
Jesus said his work with the man was done, and it was time now for him to go work somewhere else. But the thing which is really interesting here is this. There are some who saw him, right? Because we're seeing at the end of verse 8. It says, is this not the man who used to sit and beg when he came back? Because you got to remember now, when Jesus met him, he was a man sitting there begging for alms. And now, so that means that everybody in the area knew him, saw him, and when they came back, or anybody came walking through, back through the area again, he ain't sitting and begging, but he's standing, and I could just see the man wondering, where did Jesus go? And while he's looking, trying to figure out where did Jesus go, that's when the question came up, because some folks saw him standing and looking. Because they said, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? And some of them said, what? It is he. But I want you to understand something. Everybody is not going to be excited about blessings. Everybody ain't going to be excited about God, what God is doing around them. Some folk just get used to seeing things a certain way and don't want to see them any other way. If folk are used to seeing him sitting there begging because he is blind, they are having a problem accepting that the man is no longer blind and begging. They have a problem that he is up walking and seeing. Because look at what they says, because it says others are saying, but it is someone like him. Ain't that amazing? Why is it hard to accept the blessings that they see? Why is it hard to see God perform the miracle around them? Why are they trying to say that what is something God has done is not done by God? Why are they trying to? And then you know what, y'all? They was arguing. You don't believe me? You know how they was arguing? Look at the very next thing, the next statement. It says, he kept saying. Why would he have to keep saying? Why would he have to keep saying, I am the man? Because they were arguing back and forth. Some say he is been healed and delivered. Others say, no, he is not. And while he's there in the middle, he said, I am the man. Do you see this? These folk are arguing about this man isn't the man that was blind. They are trying to denounce the evidence of what God has done. They are trying to say that what God has done really wasn't God's doing. This is just somebody that looked like him. And you could tell it ain't him because he can see. He got on the same clothes, smelled just like him, hair looked just like him, face looked just like him. The only thing is his eyes ain't closed and he's no longer blind. He now can see. I didn't know the brother had brown eyes. So that can't be him. Well, you know what? Maybe his blindness was such that his eyes remained shut. But now that the Lord has opened his eyes, now you see him for what he is. Now you're seeing him being transformed by the Lord. And this man is saying, I am the man. My brothers and sisters, liabilities can't see blessings. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A liability can't see the blessings. Because all liability is concerned about was what I get, but not what I give. And if we are an asset for God, we can see the blessings around us. We're going to praise God for the blessings and just say, Lord, continue to bless us and use us to your glory and to your honor. And then as we move forward in the story, what is happening is this, is that, guess what? But verse number 10, it says, but they kept asking him, then how were your eyes open? Ain't that amazing? If you're the man, how were your eyes open? He said, well, I'm glad you asked me. Let me tell you one more time. The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. Then I went and washed and received my sight. Oh, yeah, really? They said to him, where is he? I don't know. When folk are hating on what God is doing, that means that you are not fighting against flesh and blood. You're fighting against the glory and honor of God. When you see God moving all around you, it is a time for the people of God to get excited. When we see God blessing in our midst, it's time for the people of God to get excited. When we see God perform miracles in our midst, it's time for the people of God to get excited. When we see the Lord turn a nothing into something, it's time for the people of God to get excited. When you're in church during our 24-hour prayer vigil and you were here between the hours of 6 and 7 p.m., you heard the wind briskly all around. It seemed like the roof might have came off, but it was just God passing through, letting us know I'm blessing what you are about to do. And when we understand that, when we being assets, we ain't run from it. We praise God because we know it is God who is blessing us. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when we truly are being the assets for the Lord, we want to do all that we can to be a difference maker. We want to do all that we can to glorify the one who took us from a nothing and made something out of us. When we understand that where the Lord has brought us from, I ain't going to sit down and wait for somebody to tell me it's time to serve, it's time to praise, it's time to thank him, because I got a whole lot to thank him for. And I don't, and even if I got to do it all by myself, I'm going to give him the glory, the honor, and the praise, because the Lord has been mighty good to me. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who knows how good God has been to you? All right, but we're almost done. There's somewhere I got to go. And there's a question I got to ask. Are you ready? Are you ready to be a... See, now I know I got to preach 10 more minutes. Because I've been talking about assets and liabilities. Now, an asset recognizes that, one, I was paid for. And a high price was paid for me. Not when I felt I was worth it. But the one who paid the high price deemed me worthy. And since he has done what he has done for me, he wants me to be like this blind man who is now a seeing man. where we ought to say, I am the one whom God has taken from X, Y, and Z. Amen. And look at me right now. Amen. I am the one who ain't going to be ashamed to tell folk what the Lord did and how he did it in me. Because I realized that without him, I was lost. Without him, I would have still been sitting right where I was, begging and waiting for folk to provide for me. Yeah. But the Lord put me in a position. He blessed me where I now can take care of myself. And now that I'm taking care of myself, I'm going to go forward letting other folk know just how good he is and how he can bless them the same way he blessed me. You see, because since I know how good our God is, and since I know how good my God is, I know that I am ready to be a. Yes, sir. You see, but here it still wasn't all that loud, but I want you to understand something. Now that you are saved, Jennifer, the key is this. Now that you know that you're saved and the price has been paid for you, there's some stuff that you got to let go of. But if you keep holding on to them bags of yesterday, them bags are going to be dragging behind you. And you really can't be the asset God wants you to be. Because God has told you to cut those bags off and let them go. But you feel that you still got stuff in those bags you need. But God told you that you don't need those bags. I've already washed you and cleansed you of all your sin. Now it's left up to you to throw some of them bags away, because they ain't no good for you. There's some stuff you gotta let go, but as long as you feel that you need to hold on to it, you're gonna drag them along, and you can't be the asset God wants you to be. So you will maintain your liability-ness rather than becoming an asset, because there's some stuff you have chosen not to let go. What bags, my brothers and sisters, are you still pulling you down? You see, I could go faster, but since I got to carry this bag and keep dragging it, Lord, I hope this leg don't break. I don't have to pay for this chair. But as long as I won't let the bag go, I can't move as fast as I ought to. I can't do what I need to do. Because you know what? I say I'm an asset, but I'm still holding on to a lot of liabilities in my own life. So I can't be the asset God wants me to be. You see, but God has told you over and over again, let go. And you just keep telling God, I can't let it go, God. You don't know how they hurt me. You don't know how they talked about me. You don't know about this and all about that. But God is still saying, let it go. I can't let it go. And since you can't let it go, you can't be the asset that God wants you to be. It's until you make that decision. I can't let it go, God, because they know too much about my past. They know what I've done. They know where I've been. But can I share something with you? They ain't got a heaven or hell to send you to. And since they ain't got a heaven or hell to send you to, I don't care if they know your whole life story. Because guess what? They're going to have to leave this place just like you. And they all got to come in the presence of God just like you. And when they come into his presence, and when you come into his presence, if you accepted Christ, you're going to be accepted in. But will you hear the words, well done, my good and. You see, I don't know about you, but I want to hear the words that say, well done, my. So in order to hear those words, there's some stuff I just got to. You see, because I am an asset. God wants you to be an asset. But in order to be a good asset, there's just some stuff you just got to do what I'm doing with right now. Sometimes you got to take a few steps back, put it over there. I'm done with it, and I'm moving forward. Do I got some folk that want to move forward? In order to move forward, you got to let it go. And once you let it go, you now can be the asset, because you recognize that I'm God's investment and I want to be the best asset I possibly can be to give God the glory and the honor in my life, because he's the only one who was able to do for me what I couldn't do for myself. You see, when we think about it from that perspective, doesn't that get us excited? Doesn't that cause us to thank him? Doesn't that cause us to praise him? Because the Lord saw past all of our faults and he saw our needs. He saw all our baggage, and still Jesus came. He saw us. The authentic person who some folks saw us in our authenticity, they'd run. But you know what God does? He ran to us. Because he saw the potential. I want everybody in here to know, every child of God in here, you have potential. And that's why God is calling you to be an asset. Because the potential that you have, he wants to use to his glory and to his honor. You're going to utilize it to glorify him. And the only way that's going to happen, you got to let some bags go. Let some Are you ready? Are you ready?